Welcome to Giant Cocktails, a podcast where two lifelong fans talk about the San Francisco Giants while drinking homemade cocktails. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
Welcome back to another episode of Giant Cocktails. I am your host, Ben Henry, alongside my brother and co-host, the Negroni Neutralizer, the Gloatful Guru, the Relief Reveling Reveler, the Fortuitous Fanatic, Matthew, I'm not drinking a Negroni, Henry.
I have never welcomed a moniker or superlative quite as much as that one right there. All of it true. All of it true.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, there was a moment where I thought it was going to happen.
Oh, there was a moment where I thought I was drinking Negronis too, and I've never been so excited to see something pop up on my screen at like 9 o'clock at a night than that.
Yes, yes. And for those of you who are just, okay, those of you who are just listening to us for the first time, you may not know that Matthew and I made a bet. And the bet was that the Giants would not sign one of the Boris Four, the top four remaining free agents, all of whom have Scott Boris as their agent, before opening day. And I, being the negative guy that I used to be, said that they would not do it. And then Matthew said, I will bet you one Negroni. And some of you out there might be thinking, what does that mean? That you don't ever get to drink a Negroni again? And nay, you fools. The Negroni is horrible. We both hate them. The loser had to drink one, and then I upped the ante. Because you know what? I looked at the Giants front office, and I said, you know what? I need to tempt fate here. I need to go all in. So I went all in. I said I would drink a Negroni for every one of the four that the Giants sign. And Matthew only had to drink one if they didn't sign any of them by opening day. And as we all know, the rumors came out on Friday. The Giants made it official on Saturday. The Giants have signed third baseman Matt Chapman to a ridiculously weird contract. And that is why I have to drink a Negroni.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! And Matthew doesn't have to drink a Negroni. And that is really the most important thing.
It totally is the most important thing. Yes.
Yes. He was sweating it. But here, I have a question for you, Matthew.
Okay.
And here's my question. Do I need another Negroni?
Oh, you need another Negroni. Yeah. You need another Negroni mainly because we seem to need some starting pitchers. And it seems to be a couple out there that would fit in quite nicely.
Yeah. Okay. Look, this is my month of positivity. And I sort of played that off as being like constantly on Farhan's side. I don't want to go that far because I definitely think Farhan makes the occasional mistake, right? And I said whatever Farhan wants to do, he should do, because I know that he's the mastermind and he's got the Giants' best interest at heart. But last week I said no, I didn't want Snell, I didn't want Montgomery, I wanted the Giants to lean into this young potential of starting pitching that they have, which includes Harrison, Beck, Wynn, and then who am I forgetting? The fourth guy. Oh, no, Hicks. And then also behind them, Birdsong and Wizenhunt and Black. And I wanted them to lean into all of those guys. And then last week you asked me, well, what about Keaton Wynn and his sore elbow? What if somebody got hurt? And I kind of hemmed and hawed. And then something worse happened this week. When Tristan Beck, well, he came down with he has an aneurysm in his arm, which I guess if you're going to get an aneurysm, which is a terrifying word, by the way, it's a terrifying word. I guess you would want to get it in your arm, right?
Absolutely want it in your arm, not in your brain. Yes.
Or, yeah, or on your heart or something, where all these other horrible places where aneurysms can be. But the downside is that it was affecting his feeling in his hand. He couldn't feel his thumb and his index finger, and it was definitely causing a significant problem, and that is a very scary condition. And, I mean, I guess things turned out to be as good as they could be, because it's operable, and everybody is very confident that this is not even a season-ending injury. This is an injury that will keep him out for a portion of the year. Remains to be seen, because I guess he's going to have his surgery tomorrow?
Tomorrow, as we're, yeah. Yeah, as we're, you know, when you listen to this podcast. Yeah.
It will be on Monday, yeah.
Yeah.
So Tristan Beck is going to be back, but he's definitely out. And his timeline is somewhere along the lines of Cobb and Ray, which means now the projected number five starter for the San Francisco Giants is Mason Black, who has not even made his major league debut yet.
Yeah.
So I need another Negroni. I need another Negroni.
You need
Matthew.
Another Negroni. And
I need an, I need, yes.
You need a Blake Snell Negroni is what
I
you
do.
Need.
I do. I need a Snell Groni.
And that Snell Groni could be like a 3-year contract for like, you know, $40 million with opt outs after each year, something ridiculous. But we need a Blake Snell Negroni stat.
I don't care what it is. Like, yeah, like I really don't care about the contract, quite honestly. Like, right. I think,
there are those who do, but you're right. As a fan, we just need him in camp.
Yeah, I think for this year, like, we need him, because I think finally things are starting to come together, right? This roster is starting to look like something better than last year.
Absolutely.
Especially with the addition of Chapman, which we are definitely going to get into later, folks. We're definitely going to get into later, but we wanted to cover this issue with whether or not Ben needs to drink two Negronis. And I do. I do need to, because I think this is going to be what solidifies the rotation.
And this is one of those moments where, or those times where the opt-out contracts doesn't scare me, because of the depth we have at the starting pitcher. Yeah, and you don't want to tie up spots for some of these guys that are supposed to be the future of the Giants. Yeah, but Blake Snell would solve a lot of problems this year.
He would solve a lot of problems. I didn't want him because I didn't want him taking jobs away. Well, one of those guys just got hurt. And he's still not taking jobs away. And so you still, yes, it still could be that you need Birdsong and Wisenhunt and Black, you know, because other guys might get hurt or tired or whatever during the first half of the season. So you still have that depth there, and they will still get their shots when they should. But you're down a man. And you just can't go any further, because, like, it's clear to me now. I see the path, especially now that we've added Chapman. I see the path that this team is going to be, and it's all around pitching and defense. And you can't. He's out there. He's waiting. And yeah, like, man, a 1-year contract? Do it. Do it. Right. I will double fist the Negronis. Absolutely. Extra Campari. Give me an imperfect Negroni. Extra Campari.
Yeah. Well, and I think that there's so many reasons to do this. And some of those players that we're talking about, a lot of them, Black, Wisenhunt, Birdsong, none of them are on the 40-man to begin with. So yeah. That just adds another layer of issues that you've got to navigate, where somebody else has got to go.
Right.
Just to get those guys on. And then you start their clock on the major league career when maybe you don't want to do that quite so far.
Right.
You don't want all of these guys on the 40-man yet. You want to be able to kind of bring them along as you need them, not push them onto the 40-man, because once they're on there, you can't take them off. And you know, so I think those, kind of like what they did last year with Wade Meckler, you know, a little premature kind of adding to the 40-man creates problems. And so Blake Snell, I think, is a great solution to this. I would even do Jordan Montgomery at this point, because, you know, he also is a solid major league starter that could add innings. And so I'm not opposed to that one either. But
yeah,
but you have the reigning Cy Young Award winner out there. Go get him.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I would much rather prefer Snell. I mean, Montgomery's a number three guy, so he's better than Beck, I think, in terms of projections.
Yeah.
So he would be an upgrade in that. And certainly, you know, Beck is going to go on the IL. He's going to go on the 60-day at some point, which will free up the roster spot for whoever, if you get Snell.
Well, no, he already has for Chapman.
Oh, he did. He did. He went on for Chapman, right.
Yeah. Okay. So they're still going to have to open up a 40-man spot for Beck.
Well, yeah. I mean, we might get to that later in today's episode. I think there's some obvious targets on this roster.
Have to be some trades and things that will have to be kind of done. So that could
right,
happen.
Right. Yeah. So like, I'm not too worried about them making room there. But and I also think there's some guys that just like, yeah. Anyway, today is Sunday, March 3rd, as we record this podcast. Your San Francisco Giants, I think they went 2-4-1 this past week, which seems like, what is that? That's 7 games. I guess they played every day. Yeah, that's 7 games, which means they tied again. Well, this was just gross.
Well, yeah, but a 10-10 tie is way better than a 0-0 tie.
That is true. More importantly, they won 2 games,
woo-hoo!
Which, you know, they hadn't done. You know, it's interesting when the manager says, I know it's spring training, but we got to win. I like Bo Mel. You know, Bo Mel, he's a little bit more communicative than old Gabe. He says things.
He says things the way you would want him to say things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he says, like he's, it's been very clear that he was a big fan of Matt Chapman and wanted him on the team. But he also said recently when Beck got hurt, I am aware that there are some free agents out there. Let's like, and he was, you know, I want those guys. And I'm paraphrasing, but the, what was really interesting to me was, is that he made that message, and which means he's putting a little bit of pressure on the front office, I think, when he says that.
Well, and so far what we've seen is that he has influence with this Matt Chapman signing. I think that there is Gabe Kapler did not have this type of influence on the roster.
No,
Bob Melvin does.
Right. Well, and Bob Melvin was brought in to be a different voice, and rather than just being a company man. But anyway, what else happened this week? A lot of things happened this week. We already talked about Tristan Beck and his very scary, but you know, at least there's light at the end of the tunnel injury with his aneurysm. But that puts already a rotation that was questionable into much more doubt. On the downside, let's see what else happened. I'm trying to think of little things. I don't know. The big thing. Let's just talk about the big thing. The Giants signed Matt Chapman. Ben has to drink a Negroni. They signed him. The news came out Friday. And now he is a free agent. He is a San Francisco Giant, passed his physical very quickly and signed today. I signed yesterday on Saturday and is now in camp just like that. It only took 4 months.
I was going to say it only took 2 days.
Yeah.
And 4 months.
Yeah. 2 days and 4 months. And, but anyway, and then what else happened this week of
Brandon Crawford was very, very honest about, how he wanted things to end up and how he felt going the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
Yeah. We will definitely talk about Brandon Crawford and that situation. So, but before we get to all of that, Matthew, you have a trivia question for us.
I do, because I thought it was really interesting. There are some intersections of major league players with Matt Chapman, a newly signed Matt Chapman. One that has been talked about extensively is that Matt Chapman and J.D. Davis were teammates in college at Cal State Fullerton. So that in itself is really interesting because they have a history. I think J.D. Davis has had to move off of third base before for Matt Chapman. The other thing is, interestingly enough, Matt Chapman was high school teammates with another all-star third baseman. Who is that player?
Pablo Sandoval.
All right. Yeah, we'll see if Matt Chapman and the Panda were teammates at the end of the episode.
I mean, Matt Chapman grew up in Venezuela. I don't know if you know that, Matthew.
It was Mateo in
That's
Venezuela.
Right, Mateo.
Mateo Chapman.
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 Chapman. Chapman.
Chapman. Mateo Chapman. Y Pablo Sandoval.
They were best buds.
That's right. And then Pablo was called Little Panda. Panda Pequeño? I don't know how we say panda.
Pandito?
In Pandito. Pandito. That's Little Panda, if that's how you say panda.
Yeah, not sure. Not sure.
Enough with the banter. Let's talk cocktails.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Bob. Thank you. Whose turn is it to go now?
What are you drinking, Matthew?
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Bob. So I am drinking a cocktail that I stole or borrowed or brought from the Educated Barfly on YouTube. It is a cocktail that is named after a popular 80s comic strip called Bloom County. What's in a Bloom County? Well, it's got 2 ounces of cask strength bourbon, or at the very least 100 proof. So bottled and bond or higher, 1/2 ounce of liqueur 43, liqueur 43, 1/2 ounce of sweet vermouth, 4 dashes of Peychaud's bitters, and you put all those into a mixing glass with ice, and you stir vigorously for about 30 seconds, and then you strain it into a Nick and Nora glass, and you express orange oils from an orange peel over the top, and lay the garnish on top of your glass. That is what I'm drinking today. A very boozy and sweet and orangey, lovely cocktail called Bloom County.
Mmm, that's a tasty cocktail.
Actually, it really is. And, you know, if you go 100 proof, it's going down real easy. So I would definitely push for cask strength to get a little oomph in that cocktail as well. But it's a lovely cocktail.
What are you drinking, Ben?
Well, thank you for asking, Bob. It's very kind of you. Bob, I am actually drinking a something that is in the old-fashioned template with my Og Natura gin, which comes from Iceland. I don't know why I said it with a Spanish accent. That is not what the Icelandic accent sounds like at all. Listen to go find Grape Jokes or Greep Jokes on Instagram, GREIPJOKES, and then you can hear what an Icelandic accent sounds like. I'm drinking that with some elderflower liqueur, a little simple syrup, and some Peychaud bitters, kind of like an old-fashioned template. And that is because I do not want to be drinking the drink that I'm supposed to be drinking, which is the mudslide. Because this is my month of sweetness. And that means, or positivity. And I'm drinking overly sweet cocktails. And this one was just, it was overly sweet. And, but what's in the mudslide? Well, it has 1 ounce of vodka, 1 ounce of Irish cream, 1 ounce of coffee liqueur. I would suggest one that's not so sweet. And then 1.5 ounces of heavy cream and plus chocolate shavings for garnish. To make it, you combine the vodka, the Irish cream, the coffee liqueur in a shaker with ice. You shake it very well until chilled, double strain. Double strain into a coupe glass because you don't want those little ice shavings in there. And then you top it with the chocolate shavings. And it is a very decadent, very sweet, very cloying 1980s dessert cocktail. Perfect for the 8 to 12 year old in your heart. But not in your house, because that would be illegal. And that's what I'm drinking today, Bob. Or that's what I'm not drinking. The mudslide.
You know what's not sweet and cloying?
Mm. Me.
The Negroni.
No.
And
no,
the
not.
Fact
it's...
that I don't have to drink one is feeling so good right now. I was Googling like how to make a Negroni taste good. Like I was really worried that I was going to be drinking this Negroni. And Farhan, you're the man. You're the guy. I love you. And I love that Ben is drinking a Negroni and not me.
I'm not going to lie, Matthew. I was worried you were going to be drinking one, too. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love gloating, and I love rubbing it in, and I absolutely would have big time. But I'm also not going to lie. Like, I doubled down just to tempt fate. Like, I needed the Giants to make one of these signings, you know, because they have talked so much. They have talked so much for so long about how they're a big team and they're going to spend the money on the big players, the impact players. And, you know, they had struck out a lot of times, and they always had this, like, armor, right? With Aaron Judge, it was like he didn't want to be a Giant, and it kind of makes sense, right? He gets to go back. He's going to be a lifetime Yankee. He's going to be in there, you know, he's going to have a bronze statue next to Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle. Like, I mean, like, who wouldn't want that, right? So, you know, and then Correa was like, oh, no, he's got the world's worst ankle. They always had a reason to not make the signing. But then this year, there were so many big names available, and some of them were just like, oh, Matt Chapman's going to be a Giant.
Yeah, and it was kind of decided at the very beginning of the offseason.
Right, and I think it was like everybody knew that Matt Chapman was going to be a Giant. Right? Everybody. And so the fact that it just kept getting closer and closer opening day that this wasn't going to happen, like, I was ready to go full on conspiracy mode, you know? I was about to go full on flat earth, you know, QAnon crazy. I was just going to be like, this is BS. This is all, like, just a big conspiracy. Like, I was going to put on my tinfoil hat, and I was going to just start, like, you know, I was going to start yelling at Greg Johnson and the microphones that he had in my house. Like, I was ready to lose it. Because, like, this had to happen, and it wasn't happening. And then, boom, finally, it happened. It's done. We can put all of that to rest. You know, the earth is round. There is no deep state. It's like, you know, I don't have to, there's no more microphones in my home, except this one that I'm talking through.
Well, I think talking about how the planets aligned, if this wasn't a Giants-type contract, I don't know what is, you know? And Farhan said that he wanted to get away from these opt-out contracts, but this is the way that you were able to get your guy, you know? And it was weird because originally it was reported as a 3-year, $54 million contract. Then today or yesterday, Susan Slusser comes out and says, actually, it was a 4-year contract with some weird, like, it's got $16 million with a $2 million signing bonus for 2024. And then next year, he's got an opt-out, but a $17 million option with a $2 million buyout. And then in 2026, $18 million with a player option to opt out, or a $3 million buyout. And then 2027, there is a $20 million mutual option with a $1 million buyout. Now, mutual options never get exercised. Like, I don't know if I've ever heard of a mutual option actually being done.
Right.
So that's kind of weird in itself.
So it is a 3-year contract.
It is a 3-year contract. And I mean, it's one of those where, you know, you got your guy, and yeah, he could be gone next year, but you'll worry about that next year.
I agree. So first of all, I'm one of those people that hates those contracts, the Conforto contract, the Manea contract, the, you know, these 1+1 contracts. And I screamed and yelled about, like, how to stop doing them. And the Giants moved on from, like, not that, you know, Haniger didn't have a contract quite like that, but it was similar. But what I didn't like about all of those contracts is that they were put on guys who were coming off of bad years or bad situations. The players were unproven. And these were prove-it contracts. Now, I think what these contracts are, because this is very similar to the Bellinger contract that he signed with the Cubs, yeah. These are face-saving contracts for Scott Boras. You know, and I certainly hope for the players, I hope that Boras is not taking his commission on these contracts. Because, like, I think that Boras talked these guys into doing this and was absolutely totally wrong about the market. I think the market has changed.
How wrong was he? Matt Chapman turned down a reported 6-year, $120 million offer from the Blue Jays.
That's
so he lost $20 million, like $70 million. $1,000 this deal.
Yeah, with
that's
an
AV. Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane. That's absolutely and totally insane. I mean, this is an utter disaster from a financial standpoint. And this is, I mean, this is a beautiful contract for the Giants because of the value, because of the money that's being spent, right? Which allows them to invest in other things and other players, maybe like a Blake Snell, right? Like, you wouldn't yeah. be able to go out and get a Blake Snell. And I'm not saying the Giants are definitely going to do that, but they now have the option of doing that because they got such a good contract from Chapman. I don't, you know, like, I think the thing that was so galling about these contracts is that why would anybody pay a guy to play baseball for, you know, I guess, what, $20 million when he's 36 years old? And that was the issue with all of these contracts. The length on them was all absurd. You were going to be playing a guy who you knew was not going to be of that value, so you could get him for these early years. And the problem with Major League Baseball is it's a closed system, and I think all of the teams are starting to figure that out. Like, I talked about this last week. You give Yamamoto and Ohtani long-term contracts because of the value that they deliver off the field, not on it. Yeah. Right? And Chapman and Snell and Bellinger, they don't deliver long-term value. Right? These guys are not a Willie Mays who you're going to keep bringing back to the ballpark every year for the next 50 years. They're not that. So they don't deliver that kind of value. And so, like, I just don't think these long-term contracts are worth it anymore. And so this is much more in line. I think that all of these opt-outs and buyouts and all of that sort of stuff, that's just saving face. I think there's a very good chance that Chapman is going to be a Giant for the next 3 years. You know, the only way he opts out is if he puts together a monster year. But then even then, like, I'm not sure that the market will respond to that. I think he's got to put together two monster years. But then he's going to be 32 years old. Yeah. Going into his 33 year.
This was his opportunity, and he could have made $120 million.
Yeah, but he didn't. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's on Scott Boras to tell him the truth, to tell him reality. And Scott Boras yeah. clearly messed that up. But here's the good news.
Yeah, what is the good news?
He gets to be a San Francisco Giant with a fan base that wants him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's not like he's getting paid minimum wage, you know? So Matt Chapman will be just fine. What I think is interesting is that earlier this week, Grant Brisby sent out a tweet that showed what Matt Chapman's average WAR was since 2019, and what the highest seasonal WAR seasons by player were since 2019. The highest was Brandon Crawford in 2021, had a 6.1 WAR. That's how good Brandon Crawford was that year. He received MVP votes. He was that good.
Yeah.
Then the next highest, though, is Buster Posey, who had 3.5 WAR in 2021. The third most was Darren Ruff, who had 2.9 in 2021.
Yeah, right? And that, folks, is why 2021 was 2021.
Yes. Matt Chapman has, and since 2021, has had 3.5 WAR, 3.5 in 2022, and 4.4 in 2023, even though his offense took a little bit of a dive. He is so good defensively that his WAR continued to rise, even though he struggled a little bit offensively in the second half last year, which is higher on average than anybody's season but Brandon Crawford's 2021 year. So automatically, Matt Chapman comes in and makes the Giants better.
Well, he comes
And it's, so that in itself is really exciting. I mean, here's a player that just automatically makes the left side of the infield great defensively and overall makes the Giants. It adds at least a win or two over last year or any of the last few years.
Yes. I mean, he comes in and he's almost their best player.
Right.
But also fits that mold of pitching and defense, because that is the ultimate strength of Matt Chapman. And I know I think something that the Giants lost sight of over the last 2 years, and I think really undervalued in the 2021 year. And I think that just everybody. Like defense is not sexy in baseball. You have a hard time seeing it. You have a hard time explaining it. It's not measurable. And it's just not the part of baseball that you fantasize about, right? Like, when we're all dreaming of ourselves playing Major League Baseball, and we all do it, I know you do.
Mm-hmm.
We all dream of ourselves at the plate. We're not sitting out there at the hot corner making a dive and then throwing across the diamond in the fourth inning, no. Right, to get the second out. We're not. That's not what we fantasize about. But you know what? That's just as important. Right? Runs saved is the same as runs scored, and defense is so, so important, and that is what the 2021 team did that the 2022 and the 2023 teams sucked at, was right. Defense.
And 2022, we spent a lot of time talking about how bad the defense was.
Yeah.
In 2023, they led the majors in errors.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we didn't really, I mean, I think we just got used to it, maybe. We got numb right. to it. Like it was just kind of, that's the way the Giants right. are.
Right.
So this whole Matt Chapman on the left side of the infield is huge.
Yeah, and it's just as important as hitting. But here's the upshot. He does have the potential to hit a bomb. And, you know, he's a good hitter. And like at the end of the day, who are you comparing him to? You're comparing him to J.D. Davis, right? And like, here's the problem with the San Francisco Giants over the last 2 years in their roster. Good, but not great. Just a lot of yeah. good guys. Like, and I think that was one of the things that was hard to look at this roster, because you're like, who do I get rid of? I like that guy. He's good. But the problem was that was everybody. They were all good. But none of them were great. Yeah. And so the way that you have to make a team full of good guys better is you got to get rid of some of those good guys and replace them with great guys. And unfortunately, I think that's what's happening to J.D. Davis in this situation. Because, like, I mean, that guy has gotten a raw deal from the San Francisco Giants over the last few months, right? The whole thing with arbitration, although I think that makes a little bit more sense now.
Yeah.
And Chapman, right, which is that J.D. Davis now becomes the odd man out. There is no room for him on this roster, right? There's nowhere for J.D. Davis to go. He keeps talking about Chapman playing shortstop. Chapman is not going to play shortstop.
No.
Chapman is going to play third base.
Farhan even came out and said that to expect roster moves within the next week.
Right.
So by the time we report next Monday, it's a good chance that J.D. Davis won't be a Giant.
Right. And that sucks because J.D. Davis is a good player and a good guy. But the thing is, you need to replace good with great in order to make this team better on the lineup. And that's just the way this goes. And so that's one of the changes that we're making. And if everybody's curious about, well, you know, Chapman's offense is not that much better than J.D. Davis's. His defense is light years better. And I know that's not the right analogy, but I'm saying it anyway. Light years.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a distance.
Well, and then Matt Chapman... If you look, yes, he's got a high strikeout rate. He strikes out about 27% of the time, but he's also one of the hardest hitting hitters in the majors.
Right.
In the top 2% of all players, he has the hardest hit rate. So that's exciting. And I think it's one of those things where, like, it gets the fan base excited. It also, you know who else gets excited? The starting pitchers and
yes.
the pitching staff.
Well, they're already excited.
I mean, Logan Webb, as soon as they announced it, was texting Cobb and saying, hey, we signed Chapman. And he was already talking about how he was just going to bury sinkers inside to right-handers
right.
and have them hit, you know, over to the right side or left side of the infield, because he knows now with Chapman over there that's gold. And then we haven't even talked about shortstop, but you get a guy like Nick Ahmed, you know, and you pair them up and that whole left side is like just locked down.
Right, right. Well, I do want to do a segue into your shortstop thing, since you just said it, and you just set that up so nicely. But I do want to talk a little bit about this Chapman contract, just really quickly. Do you get the sense that, like, no other team was genuinely interested in Chapman? Other than the Blue Jays?
Well, to sign a contract like he did, it seems like, yeah. It doesn't seem like there was a big market for him.
At some point, I think Farhan realized he was negotiating against himself.
And he publicly said, we're done.
Yeah.
And so kudos to him. Like, he did not bite, you know? And so I think in this case, he clearly beat Scott Boras.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. All right. Well, now I'm going to bite on that shortstop segue. Because shortstop is an interesting question. But I think the biggest story of the week before the Giants signed Chapman was, I mean, was it an exit? I don't know. It's like, how long do goodbyes have to be these days anyway, right? It was the longest goodbye to Carl.
We said goodbye at the last games of the season. I think everybody knew, or at least most people should have known that Crawford was not coming.
Right. The longest goodbye to Brandon Crawford. And so the news that came out the day before Chapman, I think 2 days before Chapman signed, or the rumors came out, was that Brandon Crawford signed a one-year guaranteed contract with the St. Louis Cardinals to be their backup shortstop. The Cardinals have a young player, I think, who is starting his first full season, is the de facto starting. He's the Luciano, but they have given him the job. They have announced it. Mason or something? I can't remember what his name is. But anyway, and they signed Crawford to be his backup because the only other backup shortstop that the Cardinals had was actually an outfielder, a starting center fielder who could also play shortstop, but has been coming off of shoulder surgery or something like that. And they just decided it was better to go get a legitimate backup shortstop. And that's why Brandon Crawford is going to become the backup shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals on a guaranteed one-year contract. Major league contract. And he said in an interview that the reason that he was going with the Cardinals and not the San Francisco Giants is because the San Francisco Giants didn't want him. And I think he specifically said one person didn't want me back. And that one person was Farhan Zaidi. And he told me that if I wanted to be on the team, to be the shortstop, the backup shortstop, which Crawford offered to be. Crawford offered to be the backup and be a mentor to Luciano and the other young players. And Farhan told him, you could win that job with a non-roster invitation just like everybody else. And Brandon Crawford found that to be insulting, I think.
Insulting, and the fact that another team gave him a major league contract.
Well, so. yes, and wasn't going to do that. I mean, correct. Like, he found that to be insulting, and another team gave him the one-year contract to do the job that he wanted to do. And so there we are. I mean, that's the end of one of the greatest San Francisco Giants stories of all time. If not one of the greatest stories for Giants. I mean, certainly the best shortstop in Giants history. And one of the greatest players in San Francisco Giants history. But also one of the greatest stories, right? Like, everybody knows the story about Brandon Crawford, how he grew up a Giants fan, how he was there at Candlestick on what was supposed to be the San Francisco Giants' last game in San Francisco before they moved to St. Petersburg. And then he grows up to be, you know, a two-time World Series winning great shortstop. Has, you know, just so many great things that happens with the San Francisco Giants, right? Those two rings, but also having his best season when they put together the best Giants team of all time in 2021 in terms of wins. You know, and then that's it. You know, the hobo tells him, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. You know, I don't want you. You kind of cause me problems. You're a complication. And, you know, it's not personal. But that's only because I don't know how to communicate with other human beings.
Yeah. I see. I don't blame Farhan for this because you're right. It would have been complicated and too complicated.
It would have been super complicated.
You can't invite the greatest shortstop in Giants history to come in and be a backup for a question mark rookie.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that rookie starts to be look like a rookie, everyone's going to be clamoring for the greatest shortstop in Giants history. And you can't do that. It's not fair to Luciano. It's not fair to the Giants. And so, and let's face it, Crawford has been a below average player since his 2021 season.
Yeah.
And so there really was no reason to bring him back other than the fact that there's some kind of sense of maybe loyalty to a guy that's been your guy. But Farhan wasn't the one that was, you know, that was with him all those years. And that's not his job. His job is to put the best team on the field. I love Brandon Crawford, and I'm thankful for all that he did. But his time, every player's time comes.
Yeah.
And his time had come. And so I don't blame Farhan for this. I think that there are a lot of people out there that are upset that Farhan, you know, that, you know, you get a guy like Ahmed to come in instead of Crawford. But the difference is that Ahmed is in camp as a non-roster invitee without a major league contract and has to earn that job. And Crawford didn't want to do that.
Right. Right. I mean, and at the end of the day, it's like you have to have a certain level of flexibility there. You know, like, this job, like, you have to be a guy that can be cut. Because let's say Luciano does break out and has an awesome showing. And you want one of your other young guys on the roster, right? To be able to, because, you know, to back up Luciano because they're better at defense. Because, yeah, Crawford's defense fell off. His hitting definitely fell off, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to DFA Crawford?
You're going to DFA the greatest Giant shortstop in history in the middle of the season?
Yeah.
Or in the early season? Yeah, that just doesn't...
No.
That would be even worse than letting him go now.
I think what should have happened is this conversation probably should have happened with Crawford last year. They probably just said, we have no intention of bringing you back. Right? Have that very hard closed-door meeting conversation and just say, but what we'd like to do is send you off with a huge fanfare and celebrate you. Understanding that, like, you know, you might want to go play, and that's totally fine. That's you, but we're not going to bring you back. And, you know, I think there was a little bit of hemming and hawing over that because, well, there was a lot of other stuff going on. But also, like, it's hard to say that to a player who wants to keep playing. But, like, yeah.
Well, and also we've learned that the Giants regime is not very good at having honest conversations.
The Giants aren't very good at communicating at all. Like, I mean, that one thing. Yeah. Like you
said, Kapler and Farhan are both that's not a strength.
No.
And we've heard that from multiple areas.
Agreed.
You know, Gabe Kapler preferred to text people that were sitting in the same clubhouse that he was rather than go up and talk to them.
The things that we've heard about Gabe Kapler since he left are just mind-boggling to me. Like, nobody with the word manager next to their name should behave like that. Like, you can't.
But he makes a great steak tartare, Ben.
Well, whatever, dude. You have to be able to talk to human beings and be a manager of people. Like, if you can't communicate, then you can't be a manager. And I get what you're saying about how Farhan Zaidi, like, this is his job to make the baseball team better. But, like, I mean, like, you could be better at this. You could. Yeah. And, like, it matters, right? This is a thing that we keep seeing with Zaidi over and over and over again. Like, he is not a people person. Like, I've heard some people say that he is. He is not.
No,
he's not a people person. Like, he doesn't think about that element of the sport at all, which is unfortunate because that is a part of the thing. Like, the whole term forever Giant, that's about legacy, right? And that's about maintaining your relationship with somebody after they've gone, right? And that's important. Yeah. It matters to the fans. And it clearly matters to some people on the team and the organization, you know. But you can't be just like sort of like, oh well, this is the business, you know. Like, I mean, yes, make the right business decisions, but you can do it with a bit of class and a bit of style and a bit of grace. And this feels like, you know, kind of wooden shoes kind of maneuvering. At the end of the day, though, I agree with you. Brandon Crawford should not be a San Francisco Giant. It would have been a cool story if he just retired, but he wants to go play one more year to prove something to himself, and that's his prerogative. And now he gets the opportunity to do that. You know.
You want to know what my biggest fear is, though?
What is your biggest
fear? As it relates to this?
What is your biggest
fear? So the Cardinals play the Giants the last three games of the season.
Uh-oh.
And I envision a scenario where the Giants are fighting for that last wild card spot. And on the last day of the season, Brandon Crawford hits a splash hit home run to beat the Giants at Oracle and end the Giants season. That's a plausible situation that could happen. Which
it
is.
It's a plot. Okay. Okay. Look, this is my month of positivity. This is my month of sweetness. But you know what? That's for the San Francisco Giants. And I don't give a rat's ass about the St. Louis Cardinals. I hate those guys anyway. Right? Like, of all the teams, like, out there, like, it's obviously the Dodgers number one, but then it's the Cardinals and the Braves. Right? Those are the least favorite National League teams.
Yeah.
So I don't give a rat's ass about the Cardinals. But here's the thing. Brandon Crawford is not going to be on the team in that series.
Yeah, you know,
he's not going to be a Cardinal by the end of the season. I'm sorry, but that's true.
That is the other side of it, right? I mean, aging guy that's the backup. That's actually a very plausible situation as well.
He's not going to be a Cardinal by the end of the year. He's not going to be in Major League Baseball by the end of the year. And then he'll know. I'm sorry if that's rude or mean or cruel, but he'll know. The game will tell him, and he'll be told this year. That's my so your scenario. I'm not worried about it.
It's not very positive, Ben.
Yeah, because he's positive. A Cardinal. You want me to be positive about the Dodgers?
No. Okay.
Oh, Yamamoto.
All right. You're right.
You know what? Yamamoto's throwing darts and slicing people up, and Ohtani hasn't made an out since he's gotten to. And both of those, by the way, are true. And I hate him.
All right. So we got a lot to talk about.
We do.
And we haven't done one of these in a while. But Bob, what time is it?
What?
It's time for a lightning round.
Oh, crap. Lightning round.
Oh, my God. We haven't done this in a long time. Like, it's just, okay. All right. I got to think about this.
Potato,
okay.
Tomato,
lightning
Bob.
Lightning round. So that means we're just going to throw out some topics. You and I have both given our opinion on it, and then we're moving on to the next topic. I know that's hard for you. I know that's hard.
Yeah, I know it's hard.
But we got to do it.
All right,
okay?
Let's go.
All right. Topic number one. Is Marco Luciano the answer at shortstop?
No.
Ooh, that's really good. Maybe talk a little bit more about that.
Oh.
Okay. Is Nick Ahmed the answer at shortstop?
Yes. And Casey Schmidt's the backup. Luciano starts in Sacramento.
Yeah, and that is a very plausible way of looking at this, because again, it's not the preferred way, because now you got to get Nick Ahmed onto the 40-man roster, but so far Nick Ahmed is winning the shortstop job, and it's not even close.
It's not even close, but also Luciano is losing it horribly.
Is 0 for spring.
That's correct. He's 0 for spring, and his first play as first defensive play was an error. And remember, we talked about this kid in winter ball. Nobody else wanted to bring it up. Nobody else wanted to mention it. Like, all the pundits and everybody, they're like, no, Luciano didn't play winter ball. But the stats are there. They're right there in Baseball Reference, fans. If you want to go look at him, go look at him. Luciano played winter ball, and he was atrocious.
And so he stopped playing winter ball.
And so he just stopped. Yeah, nobody was like, I think he got kicked off the team. I think he got cut by his winter ball team. That's what I think. And he's not playing great now. So no, he's in Sacramento, and he'll be lucky to be there.
So you're saying that Luciano will be in Sacramento. Schmidt will be the backup shortstop Nick Ahmed.
That's right. And
what about Tyler Fitzgerald?
Yeah, I know. There's you Fitzgerald fans. You all want Fitzgerald. It's going
to
be Schmidt.
The Giants seem to be a Fitzgerald fan. They're Farhan's talking about how they want him on the roster.
Yeah, he's the Brett Wisely. He's the Wade Meckler. He's the Bryce Johnson. It's Casey
Schmidt.
There
is a little bit of that.
Casey
Schmidt.
Casey Schmidt is the better, and he's the better defensive middle field, and he should be there. Casey Schmidt.
Well, and Casey Schmidt has asked Bob Melvin for more playing time at shortstop, especially now that Chapman has been signed. So I think that even Casey Schmidt sees that's
he has
his
to.
Little,
he has to.
Yeah.
And he probably is like the second best shortstop on the team anyway.
Probably. Okay. So we're looking at one of our longtime prospects maybe not being ready this year, if at all. But
whatever.
One other of our longtime prospects is looking really good. Mm-hmm. How do the Giants find a way to fit Luis Matos onto the roster?
They DFA Michael Conforto. Goodbye.
That's it, huh?
See ya.
What about a trade? Could they trade Michael Conforto?
I don't know. Could you?
Yes, I think he's got some value.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
What are you going to send him to the A's for another six-pack
of
beer?
You could partner. You could package someone like Matos, and I think Susan Slusser said something about this the other day. Like, she said, what is it? You could do JD Davis and Conforto,
okay,
and Joey Bart and a young pitcher. I mean, you got these guys that all need a place.
So Davis, Bart, and Conforto, I think, are all very, very tradable. And I think together their value. Okay, look, I'm a little bit down on Conforto because I really wanted him to opt out. And he's one of these one plus ones. And he's like one of these, you know, just garbage, just one plus one contracts. And just like, yeah, I just don't believe. I don't believe. And so like that's how you make room. You make room for Matos by moving Conforto. And
some would argue that Slater. What about Slater?
Oh, you're going to get rid of your best bench hitter against lefties? Okay.
No, I agree with you. I think that Slater is definitely...
Let me get rid of the better player to keep the worst player. Sure.
I think people don't understand how important Slater has been. I mean, he has not only been good against left-handers, he has been one of the best in the majors, if not the best, against left-handers over the last few years. And so he definitely has a role,
right?
Even though it's not a glamorous.
Right, and he doesn't have as much... Well, you know what? What has Michael Conforto done? Like, what has he proven? Like, how is he better than Slater over the last couple of years? Like, how do you even make that argument? And I get it, they bat from different sides of the plate, but, like, why is Conforto more valuable than anybody on this roster? Right? Like,
right. I think you're looking at his potential rather than what he's
right,
done.
His potential.
The last time he had one of those seasons was, like, 3 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, I mean, like, what potential are you talking about? What decade are these people living in? I live in reality, not fantasy land, and Slater is a better player in reality, both offensively and defensively. You absolutely should get rid of Conforto before you get rid of Slater.
And Luis Matos, if you haven't been paying attention, showed up at camp with 15 pounds of muscle that he didn't have at the beginning of last or the end of last year. And exactly what the Giants asked him. They asked him to get stronger, and he did that. In fact, he did that. He decided not to play winter ball and instead went out and put on all this muscle.
Pump
and
iron.
Now is one of the league leaders in the spring on home runs, right? And so you've seen this transformation. And here is a guy that has been one of your top prospects for years. At some point, you've got to turn to your prospects and say, now's your chance.
That's right, because how does a prospect become a Major League Baseball player, Matthew?
By actually playing.
By playing, that's right.
At some point, somebody's got to be like, you're ready, let's do this.
That's right.
And so it doesn't matter how much you're paying Conforto. It doesn't matter. You made a mistake. You've already admitted all these other mistakes trading people away. You got rid of Stripling. You got rid of Haniger. You got rid of Discofani. You know, you've gotten rid of these mistakes. Here's one more.
That's right.
Right.
Sunk
to
cost.
Make place for a guy that could be the next big Giants regular outfielder, who, by the way, the Giants have not had a regular outfielder that they've developed on their own in years.
That's right. Guess what? And you would, if you put Matos out there, I bet you sell more Matos jerseys this year than if you kept Conforto and put him out there.
Sure. In fact, Farhan, if you're listening, I will buy a Matos jersey if you keep him on the roster.
But only if it has the normal sized letters, not these tiny little letters.
Yeah, none of these like swish, you know, like
yeah,
jerseys.
Yeah,
no.
like, none of the see-through jerseys with the tiny little letters.
All right. So speaking of guys that are new, that have impressed... Jung-Hoo Lee.
He's amazing. He's everything that we thought he would be and more. He's the bee's knees. He's the Galliano in my golden Cadillac. He's the Bailey's Irish.
Which you haven't heard yet. You don't even know what they're talking about.
That's what I'm drinking next week, folks. I'm drinking a golden Cadillac next week. And he's the Irish cream in my mudslide. He's the tequila in my sunrise.
Absolutely. I it's been really fun to watch this guy because, you know, you're really afraid when they make this big free agent signing that he's going to look like overmatched, even in spring training. And he's been anything but. And that has been really exciting to see. I can't wait to watch more of Jung-Hoo.
I can't wait for pitchers to work to try to figure out how to pitch to him. They're going to throw a bunch of garbage to him. They're going to throw him so much garbage that is not on the plate. And I also cannot wait for the first Yamamoto-Lee matchup. I'm looking forward to that very, very much.
I just, it's so great to see, like, he is such a patient hitter that even in mid swing, he's able to hold back and take pitches the other way. I feel like he's got very few weaknesses, and it's going to be really fun to watch pitchers trying to figure that out, because he's got such great bat control that it's been really fun to watch so far.
Yeah, I think he's going to, I mean, right now it looks like he's going to be a breakout star. You know, he's going to, I mean, the league is going to try to adjust to him. I'm intrigued to see how that goes. You know, like, I think the first big test obviously will be the first month, but I'm actually feeling like he's probably going to do well in that first month. The real question is the second month, right? Is when May comes around, how does the league try to adjust to him, and how does he adjust to that?
Right. Well, I think that's what every player's got to do, and it seems like he's got all the skills to be able to figure it out.
Agreed.
So, I think there will definitely be moments of struggle, but so far it has been really great to see, and I'm excited. And if you look at the Giants lineup right now, the projected opening day lineup, and compare it to last year's opening day lineup, there's like, I think there's only like two players that are slated to start this year than were last year. It is an entirely different lineup. And if you're not excited about that, Giants fans, I don't know what's going to get you excited. Pitching aside, the lineup looks so much different, and there's so many opportunities for the Giants to perform, and it gets me excited about it.
I mean,
it's
super exciting. It's a super exciting lineup. It is dynamic. It is different. It's got the ability to get on base. It's got the ability to hit the ball. It's got speed. It's got power. It's got all kinds of different guys up there, right? Like, you know, Chapman is a little bit swing happy, but Soler isn't. You know, you've got Wilmer there with power. You've got Wade, who hit a home run and today, and who is, you know, he's got his patience, and just it looks really, really good. Like, I think there's a lot of dynamic. I don't think this is the best lineup in baseball, but you know what? It is more athletic, and it is really good at defense. And so, like, this has the makings, like, to be a competitive team. This looks to me like a team that's going to compete for the first wild card. It's starting to move in that direction. And
well, and it'll be really interesting, because I think most of the lineup is set, but you've got a couple question marks, obviously, with JD Davis, what his future looks like, most likely being traded maybe by the next time we go to air. Also, Matos, which we talked about, and then the shortstop position. You know, who's going to be the starting shortstop? I think those are the question marks that we'll be watching over the next few weeks. But I don't think there are any bad answers there. I think there's just kind of figuring out what the best option is.
Right. I agree. Like, these are intriguing battles that all are going to be fun to watch. And you know, you just kind of interested to see how they turn out. Like, you know, is Matos going to pressure the Giants to make a move? Is Ahmed going to put the shortstop position on lockdown and make it a non-starter that Luciano is there? I totally agree. You know, there are some other, and JD Davis, right? I mean, I think at this point you're like, okay, the Giants have to move JD Davis. They have to move Joey Bart. And then Matos may force them to move somebody else. And so, yeah. and that's interesting to see what happens with those guys. But, you know, I would expect that they get prospects back for all of that, right?
Right, guys that aren't on 40
yeah,
men.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
all right.
Things are looking up.
They are. And just in time for your month of positivity.
That's
See,
right.
It's getting a little easier to be positive.
That's right. I mean, before they signed Chapman, though, right, they lost Tristan Beck to injury. And
I know. It's not all
Luciano
roses, but, you know, it never is. It never is. And so by maybe Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery will be the answer. Maybe you'll be drinking two Negronis.
That's right.
Also, I mean to ask you before we wrap this up, when are you drinking those Negronis? Because they don't really jive with the month of sweetness and the month of positivity.
No, I mean, but also, like, we won't know, right? Because the bet was opening day. So
that's true.
So,
okay, good point.
So
yeah.
I figured that, one, I have to drink them both. here I am assuming I'm drinking two. Because that's the positive me. That's the positive Ben. Like, I assume I'm going to be drinking two, and I only have to drink one right now. I opening day, I think, around that time frame. It will be post opening day because that's when the bet will close and we'll know exactly
that's
how
true.
Many Negronis I have to drink. I will drink them at the same time on the baseball show, I will drink them.
Okay. Right?
So like, if you're worried if I'm going to drink this on Happy Hour because you don't listen to Happy Hour, well, first of all, changes coming to Giant Cocktails.
Just like the Giants.
Just like the Giants. Right. So changes are coming. But nonetheless, I will drink them on a baseball show. And you know what? I might even put Punta Mess in there.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna punish.
You're gonna make it a funky Negroni.
I'm gonna punish myself. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I'm gonna punish myself. You're
gonna go buy some Punta Mess. Because I know you don't have it.
Yeah, and I gotta, like, I don't know, what's the worst, the most brutal kind of gin? Like a really sturdy gin. Yeah.
Beef,
you know, because I deserve it. I'm gonna just, you know, self-flagellate. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, you heard it here, folks. After opening day, Ben will be drinking, hopefully, more than one.
And I said flagellate, not flatulate.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah, that's right.
I
mean,
all right. Well, I think it's time for the trivia question.
Yeah, answer. The answer. Let's do it.
So the question, if you recall, was what all-star third baseman was high school teammates with Matt Chapman?
Pablo.
And the answer.
Sandoval.
Yeah, Ben says Pablo Sandoval Cinto in Venezuela.
Estudio,
but no.
In Carabobo, Venezuela.
The answer actually is Nolan Arenado.
Who also went to
Matt Chapman and Nolan. We're both high school teammates. Will you shut up? We're both high school teammates for El Toro High School in Lake Forest, California. Lake Forest is in Orange County. Matt Chapman was 2 years younger than Nolan Arenado. So they were 2009 is when Arenado graduated, and Matt Chapman graduated in 2011. They did win in 2008 their section championship. And then they won between the two of them over a span of like 6 years. There was a bunch of league championships I checked. So they definitely had successful baseball, as you would expect when you have two of the best defensive third basemen of our time playing on the same high school team.
Right.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
So that is the answer. Looking forward to next week, Ben. What are you drinking?
I'm going to be drinking a Golden Cadillac.
Ooh, a Golden Cadillac.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds really interesting.
Mm.
I'm going to be drinking an original called The New Horizon, and hopefully you'll stop by our Happy Hour episode and give it a listen. I do want to say, as far as listening, it's been great. We've had a lot of new listeners over the last month. We had, in a short month, Ben, we had our highest download month ever in February. Which was really cool to see.
That's because all of you old timers are back, and you told your new timer, listen, folks, when things go a little weird in June, we just need you to stick with us.
Exactly. Because last year, June did not look good, folks.
We're going to make you laugh.
Starting in June, y'all just started being like, I think there's something else to do.
Right. Like, you know, like, we're the other thing to do. You'd stop watching the Giants, but keep listening to Giant Cocktails. We'll make you laugh. We'll let you know when it's safe to come back.
Exactly. And we'll get you drunk.
That's right.
You could just forget about the Giants.
That's right. So, you know, it's okay to give up on the Giants when they swoon, but never give up on Giant Cocktails. We're always
there. Amen, brother. Amen. All right. Well, let's wrap this up, folks. If you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button. And that way you'll be able to see whenever we post new content. And as Ben alluded to, there will be some changes coming up. Maybe even more Giants content in the new season.
Maybe.
And we are still, in our minds, still in season three, because we do not start our new seasons until opening day. So season four will be opening day of this season, and we're looking at some new changes, which we'll announce in the near future.
That's right.
Don't forget to follow us on the socials at Giant Cocktails on the platform formerly known as Twitter, also Instagram, Threads, and even Mastodon. And then don't forget to tell a friend, or don't forget to rate us on the cocktail listener of your choice. Give us a good 5 stars wherever you listen. That would be greatly appreciated.
Yes. Also listen to us on your podcast player of choice.
Oh, what did I say?
Cocktail listener, which is an amazing thing. I want to know what that is.
Oh man. If there's a cocktail listener, you guys got to let me know because I am all down with that.
Yeah. Listen to us on both of those.
I'm also. I'm also on my second cocktail, folks. So you know, it's everything I can do to focus right now to get through this. So anyway, folks, it's been great talking to you. Can't wait to talk to you again next week. Ben, it's been great chatting with you. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers, Matthew. Bye, everybody.
Adios, muchachos.
Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails Podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
Look at me being all bilingual.
Wow, yeah.
I had a Japanese roommate who would say moshi moshi when he answered the phone. I don't remember what he said when he would say goodbye. I don't know if it was moshi moshi then. It probably wasn't.
Aloha.
Pretty sure that wasn't it either.
Mahalo. Oh, those are Hawaiian words.
Those are Hawaiian. Mm. So you'd be really good if you had a Hawaiian roommate.
I was thinking about trying to learn Hawaiian.
Really?
Yeah. That or Navajo.
I heard Navajo is like pretty impossible to learn.
They said that about Icelandic, and I was like, this language doesn't seem that hard. I mean, not that I know that either, but...
Say one thing in Icelandic. You were there for like 2 weeks.
Vic.
What does that mean?
Town.
All right. See? You're bilingual. You're practically bilingual now.
Yeah. I mean, everything there is called something Vic. And then there's one town that's just called Vic.
Town. It's called town.
That's right.
Where are you going? To town.
To Vic. To town.